Do we need to clink?
Yeah, we should totally clink. Are we recording?
Yeah.
All right. Herbal wine of some random concoction. How about I start with an introduction of myself? No. Or maybe you introduce me.
Yeah, no, that's boring. Don't introduce yourself.
No. This is fun. Yeah, so I just finished my first year of school.
Yeah.
And I passed all of my comprehensive exams.
Are you excited about that? Was that like a big weight on your shoulders?
Yeah, I actually had a considerable amount of anxiety.
Are you? No, you're not from here. You're from Pennsylvania?
I am.
Did you just move out here just for school or?
No, I was not planning on going. This whole school shit is totally unexpected. I didn't have a thought of acupuncture school until I started working in an acupuncture clinic.
How you got started was by working in a clinic?
Mm-hmm. I actually already did my reading for my class tomorrow.
You read before the semester even started?
Fuck yeah.
You were doing your homework before school even started?
Absolutely.
Fucking Hermione Granger over here being like, I'm going to read all my textbooks.
Hey. I feel like a lot of people spend a lot of time going through flashcards. I have a hard time studying. I'm not a good studier. I've never been. But I enjoy reading. And so I think just kind of immersing myself in a lot of different texts and different perspectives helps me to gain a better, like a grander context of the medicine.
And it's like a little bit more natural. It's a little bit more about like discovering things rather than sitting down and being very strict about, I need to memorize this flashcard and everything like that. So,
yeah, I don't know. But there are some people in my cohort that are, you know, just incredible at memorizing. And that's not something that I do well or even like aspire to do. I like to understand the concepts and then kind of think things out. And so that takes a little bit more time for me to generate answers. I'm not like a pop fly person all the time.
But yeah, I think that was a real difficulty for me because I came from like mathematics and engineering background. And so it was more about being logical and trying to make sense of everything. And if you understood the way it worked, you didn't have to memorize things. And then I got to like Chinese medicine school and it's like, no, you have to memorize things. You just have to memorize the big picture. You just have to memorize the properties of these herbs. And that was something I really resisted at the beginning. And I actually had to have teachers say to me like, no, this is actually really valuable. It's, you might not like it, but you have to memorize things and that will actually be useful for you clinically. And it took me like a year and a half to realize that they were right.
I feel like I'm on that trajectory. I got my first C in herbs this term. I know.
I don't know. I can kind of forgive you for that because it's like, this has been like the shittiest semester.
It's so hard.
And then it's like, I got a C in my, like my online Zoom class. It's like, yeah, what did you expect?
Yeah, it's shit, man. COVID-19, this shift to online has been exceedingly difficult.
Hey, we have a podcast. We're talking to Mallory about what it's like going through your first year of acupuncture school. Mallory, thanks for being here.
Sure thing.
So Mallory, you just finished your first year.
Hurrah!
You just took first year ends.
I did.
Are you regretting it? Was this a big mistake? If you went back and did it again, would you do something else?
I don't feel like it's a mistake. Given that I had no plans to pursue acupuncture as a career, I definitely feel like this is something I was, oh God, I sound so cliche, but like, you know, that calling, that redirection, everything kind of like aligned, whatever. It's, you know, it is what it is. Yeah, I'm not mad at it.
Because I feel like that's been coming up on Facebook. I've been seeing these things where people are like, I'm starting to get cold feet. I'm not sure if I should be doing this. My student loans are mounting up. I've even seen people that after they graduate, they were like, I really regret this. If I knew this is what it was going to be like, I never would have started. But at least you're not at that point yet.
Yeah, I'm not at that point yet. And I also, I really kind of feel like I get to take control of my perspective on certain things. And so, like, if I'm bitching about something, then I try to catch myself and be like, well, are you committed to this and do you want to leave it? And if I recognize that I'm committed to it, then I shift my thoughts around it.
Okay, this is getting a little too hippie-ish.
Nicholas is uncomfortable.
So finishing up your first year, like, how do you feel now versus when you first started?
I feel like things are kicking into gear in a different way. I feel like when I first started, I feel like I had to kind of been immersed in enough of the material prior to starting school, where I didn't find it as much of a, like, oh my gosh, my whole world way of thinking is changing. Like, I'm such a linear thinking and this circular thinking is so hard. Like, I found it, I was like, okay, yeah, this makes sense and dope. You know, yeah. Oh, yeah, let's expand on that. Like, you know, I was really into it. Yeah. And it wasn't as much of a headache.
And I feel like that's a thing that a lot of people, if they come with a Western background, like if they have a nursing background, it's actually more difficult for them mm-hmm. coming into Chinese medicine school, just because it's such a different way of thinking. People think that, oh, if you have this, you have all this anatomy and physiology background, it actually can sometimes be a detriment rather than an advantage.
Yeah, like I have a minor in biology and I wanted to be a forensic pathologist. I thought I was going to med school when I was...
Were you the one who was like, I want to take apart bodies and see what's on the inside?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And then I ended up trying not to fail out of undergrad. And so I have like a bachelor's in film studies. And then I went and studied natural nutrition and I think the holistic nutrition program kind of helped with, I don't know, kind of, it's a good precursor for this work.
So coming into it, were you like, I feel at home, this is what I was meant to do? Or were you like super overwhelmed or?
I wasn't particularly overwhelmed, at least not until herbs started to become a thing.
I feel like that's
herbs
like,
is the overwhelming part.
Because a lot of times, like in your first semester, it's kind of like, your first semester is like you're doing Tai Chi and you're sitting around in a circle and talking about your feelings. And then when you get to second semester, it's like that's when the work starts. That's when you're like, I have to memorize all these points. I have to memorize all of these herbs. And so sometimes there's a shift there.
Yeah, I totally dropped Tai Chi my first term. I was strategic, I like to think. Like I met with the graduate advisor and I was just like, so which of these classes do I need to focus on? She told me how to navigate the courses and to, you know, these are the classes, your prereqs for certain classes, whether a class is necessary for your comprehensive exams. And once I saw that Tai Chi and Qigong was not necessary for my comprehensive exam, I wasn't in a space where I wanted to write a 30-day journal. Like, I was just like, I'm not doing this shit. Did not want to do it.
Yeah. But then it's like when you get to your last semester, do you want to be doing that in your last semester?
Perhaps. I don't know. Maybe. Like, I feel like I'll probably do it like next term after I'm done with, like, I have herbs comps coming up this at the end of this term. And so I'm a little bit more motivated to learn, review all of those herbs so that I can pass this exam. I will say that I really like the structure that PCHS offers. I think that, you know, having comprehensive exams kind of makes me feel good, because at some point, you know, you could just like coast through the classes and then, you know, it's the end. But at least you get like a sense of, okay, this is how, like, am I really kind of understanding this material? And I find having those little benchmarks kind of helps me to like review. And I'm like, I managed to pass all of my comps, but I also didn't do as well, you know, in some areas. And so I've reached out to the necessary department heads so that I can like kind of review.
And get some feedback.
Yeah, get some feedback and, you know, in a direction and where I should focus my studies.
I was going to say something, but no, I don't want to say it.
Say it.
No, it was just that I knew that some people that they would actually switch schools because they wanted to go to a school like they didn't like their year end. So they wanted to go to a school that didn't have year ends. And I was kind of like, I think having year ends is nice, especially if you have to take boards at the end. It's kind of like year ends are a preparation for boards. So it's really good to have comprehensive tests that get you used to taking a large test with a lot of information.
Yeah, I think that practice is useful. And I mean, granted, because of COVID-19 and all of the restrictions in place, we had the opportunity to take them at home. They were proctored, So like there's literally cameras into your computer as to like, you know.
Is that one of those things where you had to like show your camera around to the whole room?
You show show the room and then you like they have access to anything that you click on. So making sure that you're not like cheating, which I'm not particularly concerned about.
Like, yeah, well, and I think some of them, it's like they track your eye movements. And if your eye goes off screen for more than 5 seconds, it like sounds an alarm or some shit like that.
No, yeah, I don't. Maybe the whole thing is recorded. So anybody who watches my videos is going to hear a lot of cussing. Because I'm like, what the hell is that? What are you asking? What are you, you know, like just the language and the comprehensive.
I feel like the school needs that. So I don't know. I guess what should we talk about first? Because we kind of went in two different threads there of COVID-19 versus comms. Is there one you want to talk about first?
I mean, I feel like they kind of are related. Yeah. Everything's a part of the whole, Nicholas.
Yeah. So quarantine happened in your first year. How's that going? What's it like learning Chinese medicine through Zoom?
It's not the funnest all the time. I mean, the points classes have been particularly tough to deal with on Zoom. And then even when we are on ground, there's just a lot of, there's a good amount of anxiety. It took us maybe about, we stopped in March. We went online in March and then came back in August, September.
Like, are you really angry? Are you like, I want my money back?
No, I recognize that like nobody was expecting this and I can understand that the schools had to take, you know, a tremendous like financial hit in one, providing PPE for all the clinic staff, two, like, you know, however much it costs for Zoom to be accessible. you know, like there's definitely money is being directed in other areas. So to, you know, to kind of like take that away makes, as far as in tuition, that doesn't really make a lot of sense for me. Like I want the school to be able to see its way out. Like, you know, I've already invested a year and I want my degree.
Yeah. So it's kind of like you understand both sides of it. Mm-hmm. You're not just like, I'm not getting my money's worth out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. What I will say is that I wish that there was more collaboration between administration and like students' needs and understanding that, like, you know, we had my cohort had points two and a good portion of points three online, and we didn't have that hands-on.
Yeah, it's like how do you learn point location?
You don't.
Not through Zoom.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and yeah, it was just, I've been practicing on my partner at home, but you know, reading from a book, learning the ins and outs of how to actually manipulate, measure the soon measurements. One instructor, I went to like a practical workshop for the comprehensive practical exam. Yeah. And she made a really good point to use the pinky to locate spleen 9 because the pinky is lighter and it's not going to bump over the tubercle of the head of the tibia. It'll get caught in that notch. And so I'm like, this is what I need, you know, like this is why we pay.
This is why you're paying money and not just checking out a book from the library.
Exactly.
How did comps go?
Comps went well. It's a lot of questions at once. But because I was home, I definitely was able to take good breaks. I did a couple Qigong routines. I like Marissa Cranfill. She does this brain optimization routine. And she spends some of her time in San Diego. I'd love to meet her. And so that was nice to kind of like be able to, okay, let me reset.
What has studying been like for you? Because I feel like this is a challenge for people coming into the program, is there's just a lot of information. They get overwhelmed by the sheer volume of information. And that's kind of one of the things you have to figure out first is what sort of study methods work for you in terms of dealing with all this information. Like, I was never really a flashcard person, so I guess what worked for you and what didn't work for you?
So I tried to make flashcards. I get caught up in the perfection of the flashcard that I miss the studying part. But I will say that flashcards, when you write it out, like, you're studying that material, right? And so for me, the biggest thing for me to do is to write out whatever it is that I'm learning. There's like a whole, I can't remember the term, but like when you actually physically write something out, it helps your brain to recall it better. One instructor in my first year, first term, she recommended that we take sheet protectors, those plastic sheet protectors, and then put like blanks in, like maybe the chart.
Oh, so it's kind of like a dry erase board sort of thing?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. It's a really affordable dry erase board and easy to transport. And so using that for the five correspondences and, you know, writing that out.
Yeah, and I think that's good because then it's like you're practicing actually recalling the information. Mm-hmm. It's not like you're just flipping through your notes and being like, oh, yeah, I know what that means. But you're actually, it forces you to write it out and actually make sure you can recall what's
exactly,
going on.
Exactly. Watching videos. Fortunately, you make awesome videos. I was watching your videos before I was in class. Oh,
that's
stop
not true.
It. Anyway, and then it was so funny to see you on screen and then to have you in person. I'm like, who the hell is this person? Like two totally different people.
No, because sometimes that would be funny. I'd be in class and I'd be like, oh, yeah, you can go watch this video. And it would be like me. And I was like wearing the same shirt. Because I only own two shirts.
Three, but yeah.
And then also I remember when I first made the videos for a points one class, I had one student who was just like, I'm sorry, I love you, but I just tend to get migraines and listening to you talk gives me a headache. And then I started making recordings. He's like, oh my God, it's so nice. I can just listen to you. You have such a nice voice. You're not shouting. I can listen to you without getting a headache. And so like he definitely preferred recorded me versus live me.
Yeah, you're pretty angry in class and shouty.
And that's the thing is like even just like 2 or 3 hour classes were difficult for me because I would start to lose my voice at the end just because it's like I just stand in front of the room and shout at people for 2 hours straight.
Yeah, yeah. But you would some for herbs, like you would bring in like five flavor muffins and
oh yeah, that's the only reason people like me is because I made food for class.
Yeah, it was great. You're like, I don't know how many of these are there, but you know, if you want one, have one. There's gluten in them. And that would like knock out half the class. So I would have three
Mallory
muffins.
Was eating five of them.
Yes. So good. The black sesame balls. Mm-hmm. I pooped really well after eating those.
I mean, it is like all moist lax, though.
Yeah, it is. So.
Lax sesame has oil. Walnut has oil. Honey is a moist lax, though.
Is there goji berry in that?
Oh, I think those I might have put goji berries. Like so you can or you can't. You can add them or leave them out.
Yeah, so I enjoyed your courses. And then even like your slides. It was just easy to kind of follow along. And I feel like you gave good summaries. But I will say, I was the type of person that wanted to pull out Binsky too and see what other tidbits were there because it's hard for me to figure out like how much information do I need to know or is this enough? You know, like,
yeah.
And especially like contraindications, like I feel like we didn't emphasize that as much. And maybe I wanted more than was necessary.
I don't really emphasize that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of like, if a person's hot, don't give them hot herbs. Like it should be, that should be obvious.
Right,
and
right.
Other people are like, no, I want the whole list of things.
I want the nitty gritty. Yeah. Yeah. I'm definitely one of those people. And I'm trying to not get lost in the weeds. Like I'm pretty good at kind of like honing in on like, oh, this one particular thing or this one theory.
Yeah, that's a thing where it's like you seeing the trees versus the forest. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's something that's a difficulty sometimes people run into, especially in the beginning, about knowing what's important and what's not so important.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is why, like, I have a hard time recalling the temperatures, you know, of a lot of herbs. But like, I know random things that aren't particularly useful.
Tiffany, what else should I ask Mallory about school? What would you want to know about what it's like to go to school in your first year? No, because I feel like a lot of people freak out in the beginning. Were you freaking out?
I don't think I was freaking out. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Like, I thought it was fun. I was also working. And so I was navigating school, being a, well, like, I had a job.
Yeah, I guess that's a good thing to talk about is how's your work life balance or your school life balance? Mm-hmm. Like, how did you navigate both of those?
So, I mean, I think I was fortunate in the sense that I had part-time work. I was a marketing representative for a window and patio door company.
So was it like it was really flexible with your schedule? So it was easy to work around?
Yeah. Or? Like, you know, I worked weekends and I had been with the company. I think when I started with the company, I was like, hey, I'm going into grad school. So I need this. That's my priority. And I also am trying to make some money. But and my manager was really open to kind of letting me work weekends. But I will say that it definitely was a challenge, and just being exhausted between being in class all week and then working on the weekends and just really not having as much downtime. My first three terms, like, I was able to pull like all A's and a minus or so. But I think that, like, I'm a decent student. And I already had a significant background in, like, some of the biosciences and the theory. The theory made sense, and I actually enjoyed reading. So it was just like, you know, like, in my downtime, I would bring my books to work and read.
Oh,
on my
God,
breaks,
you're
and
one of those
like
people.
That. Yeah, absolutely.
Are you super grades oriented? Do you freak out about grades? Are you really concerned with getting good grades?
I wouldn't say I'm super grade oriented, but I care. Yeah, I care. I definitely have a bit of a chip on my shoulder from undergrad. And
do you like to argue with teachers being like, I want half credit?
No.
Because I meant to circle the right answer?
No. I think that I'm not out here trying to get credit that I don't actually deserve. I just want, if anything, I want to know where I went wrong, or like recognize, like, damn it, this is what happens when you overthink, Mallory, you know?
Yeah. And so it's not necessarily like, I need a good GPA. I want to hang this test on my refrigerator with a gold star. It's more like you want the feedback of how to actually learn the material.
Yeah. Like, I understand what tests are and what quizzes are. I actually like the classes that have a quiz every week because it holds me accountable, you know, and like making sure that, like, did you at least look at the stuff, you know?
Yeah, no, and that's a weird thing. Because on the one hand, you want to be like, oh, you're adults and you need to take responsibility and it's your responsibility mm-hmm. to learn the information. But on the other hand, it's like, I know the reality is if you don't have a weekly test, nobody's going to look at it. So it's like you kind of need that to hold people accountable.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I care about my grades, but I also, like, if I'm struggling with something, then I'm struggling with something. Like, last term, I got a C in herbs and yeah, I totally own that C, you know, like, it was online. I could have, like, it was easy. I could have cheated on all of my things if I wanted to, but, like, I didn't want that to reflect, you know, on my, like, I'd rather just, like, own
the shit.
I feel
like you might have been one of those people, like, when quarantine first happened and we had tests online, it's like, I totally expect that everyone's going to, like, just read their books. And you were like, no. I'm not going to open my textbook. It's like, I kind of planned on everybody opening their textbooks, but you were like, no, I'm not going to.
I definitely had that issue with one of my anatomy classes. And I didn't know that it was open book quizzes. So I was just going through these quizzes, and sometimes I would get them wrong. And then it was like four quizzes in. I was like, wait, these are open book? And the teacher's like, well, I mean, y'all are home. I can't really keep you from doing it. I was just like, oh my gosh, I could have had hundreds on these, you know? But, you know, it is what it is. And then afterwards, I was like, I'd like to see what I know. And then if I don't know it, I go back and review.
What was the most difficult thing or the most challenging thing about your first year being in school?
Sometimes staying awake for the Zoom classes.
Yeah, no, I feel like that's difficult. And I think that's one of the reasons I decided not to teach. So mm-hmm. I guess if anybody's listening, some people don't realize I don't teach anymore. And I stopped teaching once quarantine happened. And it was kind of like, I make YouTube videos. And if you can get people to watch your YouTube videos for 3 minutes, that's considered a huge success. Like, I don't know how people can watch a Zoom class for 3 hours. And I was like, even from the teaching side, I don't want to do that. I can't imagine what it's like from the student side.
Yeah, it was definitely like, I just remember sometimes, like, I'm awake and I want to be present for this. And then next thing I know, I've got drool on the side of my face and I'm in the pillow and this, you know, I'm the last person in the Zoom room.
Yeah. Or it's just like, or it's like, I just imagine people are watching Netflix on their phone while it's happening or something like that.
Yeah. What else was difficult? Like herbs is tough. You know, we're learning pinyin. There's some Latin in there. You've got to recognize the herb and half of them all look the same. And so
between herbs and points, which is more difficult for you?
Herbs.
I feel like that's pretty common.
Yeah, herbs. But at the same time, like, I don't, the functions of points, like, I haven't memorized. Like, I know generally where they are, but like point functions, I'm just like,
well, I feel like that's part of it. That's what part of what makes points easier is like, you can locate them. They're physically there. You can touch them. And that makes it a little bit more exciting. Whereas herbs is just like you're memorizing information on a piece of paper and it doesn't really mean a whole lot.
I will say that I think one of the best things is getting treatments and getting treatments regularly. It's awesome as a student. Like before quarantine, it was just like you could get free walk-in treatments. And that kind of helps me to kind of integrate, okay, they're using this point and oh, this is happening here.
Are you one of those people where it's like, tell me what points you're doing, tell me why you're doing it?
Sometimes, but at the same time, like it's more like afterwards I'm curious, like, yeah. I also want to be present and into my treatments. I started going pretty early because I just know about my own like internal anxiety, and so trying to make sure that like I don't freak out and like have like a meltdown in the middle of the program.
Well, I feel like that's another thing that just makes points so much easier is that you see them in action, whether it's you're practicing at home or you're getting a treatment. It's like you see the points in action and you can kind of connect them to something. Whereas if you went in for a treatment and they're like, we're going to give you Bujong Ichitong, it's you don't necessarily connect that to the individual herbs and the things that you learned in class the same way that you do with points. So I feel like that's really common that people are like, herbs is much more difficult, whereas points they have.
Yeah,
they have an easier time.
Yeah, I recently requested to have some raw herbs to actually make at home.
Ooh, how'd you like that?
So I'm on like Lu Jun
Zitong. Yeah. So spleen
Chitong.
Yeah, spleen Chitong.
Detoxion. God.
Renshen Bai Du Fuling, Jurgan Sao, plus Banchan Chen Pi.
Yes. And It was a little rough. I was like, damn, this is not fun. I'm a little queasy.
Which to me is funny because that's like one of the better tasting formulas where it's like those or like Bujong Ichitong are actually not so bad. It's like when you get into like Qingqi Huakantong or
Sirens. Like anything with Wang Leon.
Or like Duhuo Jishengtong, you get like these really bitter herbs, but at least like with Liu Junzitong, it's like most of them are kind of sweet and it shouldn't be that bad.
It got to a point where it was. So I had it as granules first and I was like, this is delicious, you know, but there was something different when I was having the raw herbs. And I don't know if it was just because of the raw, they were raw and in my Instant Pot, but it was just like this is a little tougher to take back. And then next thing you know, I'm like sipping it. Like regular, you got used to it. Yeah, okay. I got used to it. And I mean, they worked. Like my spleen felt stronger. I was processing food better. And so I actually was like, let me keep taking this.
Yeah, because I feel like some people, it's the other way around where they start out. It's like, oh yeah, this is like Harry Potter. I'm making this potion. I'm cooking these herbs. It's so exciting. I'm swearing my words again. It's like, it's so exciting. And then after the first 2 weeks, they're like, oh, this is so much work. It smells bad. It tastes worse. I just want to take pills.
Yeah, I'm definitely going back to granules. But I think it was, again, like this is all experience that I get to convey to future patients, you know, around like.
No, and I think that's important because that's why I like to cook formulas in class, because I feel like I knew people that they went through 4 years of Chinese medicine school and they had never taken a raw formula.
Right. Yeah, I think that we need all of the experience, you know, whether it's uncomfortable or not, so that we can be better practitioners. So that's exciting.
What advice would you give to someone who's just starting out? Or what's something you wish you knew before you started?
Wish I knew. I think it's really important for people to advocate for themselves throughout the program, to, you know, really kind of look through the manual, like look through the course outline and know that they have agency in like how and when they take the courses, and also to really kind of have conversations with their course advisors, just so that they are on track. Like one of the best things that I did was meet with the graduate student advisor. It was like week three, and I'm like, hey, I know this is early, but like I want to know how to get through this program in 4 years.
Yeah, like just being proactive about your education.
Yeah,
like not just about the material, but about how you go through the coursework.
Yes, yes, I think that I'm taking out loans, you know, to do this program, and they are not subsidized. And yeah. So it's every year there's interest. And so I really want to make sure that like I'm setting myself up to get out of this program relatively on time. Like I've definitely given myself grace if necessary. Like, you know, I want to make sure that I'm in a good space. And not burnt out. I've seen some students like burn themselves out, and that's rough. And I would also just, you know, if your school has a clinic, to take advantage of the treatments from the start.
Like actually experience the medicine.
Yeah, experiencing the medicine, and you can go for like just general maintenance, you know, and I think that really kind of helps me to stay grounded throughout the program and feel like I can actually handle, you know, the workload, whether you're like my first four terms, I was working at some capacity, you know, yeah, in some capacity outside of school. This is the first term that I won't be working. So I'm pretty excited to just be a student and be able to like get all my reading done because I'm a little bit of a nerd. like it is what it is. I also think it's useful to share resources and to, like, I read the orientation book, and one of the things that Jack Miller mentions is that like your reputation and your like your professionalism, like it starts now in school. And so like recognizing like who do you want to be to your future classmates? What kind of relationships do you want to build? Do you like recognizing that we're all, the game plan is that we all graduate and become licensed, and you know, we're peers and colleagues. And so how do we support each other so that we can make sure that we have a good resource or network to refer patients to, because not one person is going to see everyone in the world. And, you know, and really kind of have a sense of camaraderie instead of like competition, yeah, you know?
Here, I'm going to let that siren go by. I don't know. How do you feel about professionalism? Because, like, honestly, I'm one of those people that's like, I make videos with poop emojis and I walk around barefoot with jeans and stuff like that. Like, I don't know. I guess I don't know what I'm trying to ask there, but.
Okay. Yeah. So the school rolled out a professionalism department recently. And I think in some ways it can be helpful to have a sense of like, this is how, you know, acupuncturists carry themselves or, you know, or present to lay people. And I am a Black queer woman. and I am concerned about some of the things that there may be like an implicit bias around professionalism, like just on outward experience or outward perceptions. And I look very young. I wear my hair in an afro. And sometimes that's not the look of professionalism. And so are we being aware of?
Yeah, and I guess that's an interesting, they were kind of doing some surveys about what does professionalism mean to you? Is it about how you look? Is it about the attitudes you have? Is it just about having respect for people?
Yeah, I think it should be more so value-based. And but then we have to understand that we're also in a framework of America.
Yeah.
You know, we're yeah. functioning in America, and professionalism has a takes the look of the hegemonic class.
Yeah, well, and I feel like some people, it's like their idea of professionalism is you wear a white lab coat and a button-down shirt. And sometimes I'm like, people come to Chinese medicine because they're tired of doctors who are wearing white lab coats. And I don't know, maybe this is going off in a direction I don't want to go.
I mean, hey, I'm down with going there. There's also this concept of actual phobia against the white coat syndrome, yeah. where people... they kind of shut down and they're not able to open up. And and so when we're working with different demographics and some of the traumas that they've been dealing with, I think that that's something to take into account. And so we can't have a narrow lens as to what professional.
Yeah. And sometimes I think it's a thing just like students are weird. So sometimes it's like professionalism is you take a shower and you show up on time. And some people like need that talk.
Yeah.
Whereas other people have this specific idea of you have to look a certain way, dress mm-hmm. a certain way. And I don't necessarily think that's true. I mean, I taught a lot of my classes in jeans and a t-shirt, but I feel like people respected me because I knew what I was talking about
exactly.
and I cared. Whereas
exactly.
I knew other people that they dressed in suits, they wore a tie, but I didn't think they were great. I don't know. Maybe I don't want to
yeah.
say that.
Yeah. I think that I just think that there's a lot of nuance that gets to be explored within that framework. And I look forward to seeing how it develops, you know? So, it's very early and I think in its development, and I attended the first meeting that they had, and, we'll see how it goes.
I feel like I was going to go somewhere else.
I think it's important for people to, be honest and recognize what their learning styles are, and to structure their study or their integration around that.
And I guess, how did you go about figuring that out? Was it just trial and error, or did you know something from before?
Yeah, I think I knew something from before. I did a year as an AmeriCorps volunteer, and I tutored literacy. I spent a year as a literacy tutor in the AmeriCorps program with the Reading Partners.
You spent a year teaching literacy and you can't pronounce the word literacy.
Yeah, because I've drank all this wine, okay? I told you I didn't need to drink alcohol. And so with working with lots of different students, I got a sense of okay, this kid works better if we're throwing a football and saying sight words and spelling those out, you know, or, you know, this child really likes to read, or just getting a sense of different learning styles. And so kind of there's online assessments that you can do, and just having a sense of oh yeah, this is how I like to learn. Like, I like to listen to YouTube videos, or, you know, or I'll record myself reading my notes and then I'll listen to it. You know, one of my classmates likes to do that. That's not something I would ever want to do. I like to write my shit out. And so yeah. that's one of the best things.
Yeah. I guess that's another question is, are there things that you tried and you found that they didn't work at all?
Flashcards aren't really my thing. Although at least I can't do them by myself. I need to have somebody else hold the flashcards and ask me the question. And so I'm fortunate my partner is more than willing to help me study. One of her top love languages is quality time. So she thinks of it as quality time with me.
Oh, that's so adorable.
It is.
It's so great. You have a supportive person.
I do.
You have such a happy life.
I'm so grateful. So having that tag team and that support to have someone read off flashcards that I've written is helpful. And also kind of working with someone who has no real background in the medicine. So then I get to kind of expand so that they have greater context. And it's like Albert Einstein. If you can't explain something to a 5-year-old, then you don't have your own understanding.
Yeah. It's like you're learning by teaching it to someone else.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that's helpful.
Studying alone or studying in a group? Which do you like better?
studying alone.
I always had to study alone. I feel like when people went to study in groups, it's more like you're pretending to study and you're not actually studying.
Yeah, somebody's hungry, somebody wants to listen to music, somebody's just like way off. Honestly, and like for the first few terms, I was working. So my study time was like early in the morning, you know, like it's just like trying to coordinate times and schedules was already hard. But I can study with one person. I find that to be useful.
Are we just rambling now?
I don't know.
Is there anything else we should say? Maybe here something is. It's kind of like there's been a lot of shit going on this year that was pandemic, and sometimes it's just going through the program is difficult. Mm-hmm. Like I said, there are a lot of people on Facebook who are like, I'm not sure this was the right path for me.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel optimistic going forward? Do you feel like this is something I want to do? Do you feel like you're going to come out of it on the other side really well?
Absolutely.
Am I rambling and not letting you answer the question?
Now you are. I absolutely feel optimistic about it. I think that this medicine can be incredibly accessible to people. It's not as expensive to practice. I'm already thinking about do I want to do a mobile acupuncture business? What does my demographic look like? How do I structure my time? I think it's useful to connect with people outside of your school. There's an incredible group called The Influential Point. They have a website and they also have an Instagram that kind of looks at healthcare from a DEI perspective and brings in aspects like ableism and racism, imperialism, getting the O word out of acupuncture and Chinese medicine or East Asian medicine. I'm really excited. I think it's important to read other texts. There's a book by Paul Unschuld, Chinese Medicine, and that's kind of giving me some greater context into, you know, what is Chinese medicine that we're practicing here and getting out of it's magical or, this is the real true way. What we practice here is a very small snippet of what is actually practiced in China. And there's been even issues with what Chinese medicine has been on the defensive in China for years. Let's not romanticize it so much.
This isn't like we're...
We're
just a bunch of hippies using our intuition.
Right. Let's ground it. But also I think that it's useful to tap into some of the shamanic roots as well. And that might be something that some folks are uncomfortable with. For me, I think there's value in all perspectives, but I think that we get to, and this is what the school is about, is parsing out how do we maintain clinical efficacy and making sure that our patients are being taken care of and, to the best of our ability. Also collaborating with Western medicine, because if you're practicing in America, that's the main, that's the main medicine. So having a good sense of medical terminology, it might be useful for people to read or to watch shows House. I used to watch House as a kid all the time.
Yeah.
And I also watched Dr. G, which is she's a forensic pathologist. And so that was on I think it was on TLC. But getting a sense of the Western medical terms and how does it relate? How can you kind of translate Chinese medicine in a Western stance and being open to teaching your patients if they're curious, if they want to know, being confident in sharing this information. I'm rambling.
One of the things I hear from people who graduated and they're starting a practice, one of the advices they give is make sure you start while you're still in school, whether that means working as an assistant, working at a front desk, starting with your social media, starting a massage practice and getting your clientele. It's good to start thinking about starting a practice while you're still in school. Have you thought at all about that? Do you have any plans about that?
Absolutely. I've definitely thought about that. I have a holistic nutrition background, so I technically could be seeing clients from that perspective, and then starting to integrate, like, you know, some of the things I'm learning. I see a few people sometimes, and I recommend, like, Qigong, getting a sense of, like, what makes sense in the structure of my practice. So I've been listening to, like, the Influential Point hosted a conversation around, like, best practices for the style of business. And you know, just for me, I think it's important to have I want to make sure that, like, this medicine is accessible to marginalized communities. And I also want to make sure that I can pay my bills, right? And so, but I also think that it's important to make things a priority. And so, like, okay, if I work 4 days a week and, like, have a day that I volunteer, you know, yeah, or and offer services, what does that look like?
You still need money to feed the mission.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm also learning day trading. And so, which is, like, a totally different.
Are you doing foreign exchanges?
No, okay. No.
Because I've had a lot of people and it's like, oh yeah, I'm doing Forex trading.
No.
I'm like, there's no way you can explain this to me that doesn't make it sound like a pyramid scheme.
It totally feels like a pyramid scheme in that regard. I wasn't comfortable with the Forex, but this is more so like learning how to, like, trade options and binary options.
Okay, I don't want to go down that route.
But I'm not, like, paying people to continue those books.
Is there anything that the school is not doing that you wish it was doing?
I would appreciate seeing more diversity in the school, and not just in race, but also in size, like, really, like, in skin color. Like, how do we differentiate the different pathologies, the way that colors are seen on different complexions.
So not necessarily about the faculty, that we need a more diverse faculty, but more that it's like locating points on different people might be different, or doing a diagnosis on different people might be different.
Right. Yeah. Like, I think that we need to embrace like transgender experiences, LGBTQ experiences, like how do we relate and how do we support patients, you know, in that regard? How do we navigate like larger bodies? And even like the language around that. Also just recognizing pathologies, like, What does white look like on a black person? You know, like, we don't have a lot of references for that.
Is there anything that happened in your classes or anything that your teachers did that you were like, I really appreciate that, that really spoke to me, like, in terms of teaching methods or ways of presenting the material?
I like case. So I'm the type of student that wants to start to apply certain things, right? And so having sections of, you know, like a segment in the course where we get to, you know, we have like three case studies, and to start to like, oh, okay, so how would we break this down? And to see how different people might understand, you know, a case study in different ways, but it's still valid. I think that that's important. And I appreciated those moments of getting to play with case studies. I also really liked that, like, with quarantine, some of clinic went online. And when you're an observer or you're an assistant one, more so when you're an observer, like, I found that it was useful to spend a little bit more time, like, doing, like, the grand rounds and, you know, and just having multiple people kind of speak on and interns at different levels, and just like, oh, okay, like, oh, okay, they're looking at it this way. And so, like,
getting all those different perspectives, different approaches.
Yeah. Like, I really liked the grand rounds that they offered when we were on ground, and then the online adjustment made it, I guess, more relevant. Like, it was just like, this was the best way to learn things. And it was kind of nice to have like a slower pace for people who were in their first year. Yeah.
And that's good that there was like, there's a good thing that came out of quarantine instead of it being all bad. This was something good that happened.
Yeah. I don't think anything is all bad or all good, right? Like,
you're one of those people.
I am. I am one of those people. So I found that that was really useful. I would like to see more Qigong. Like, I love the Tui Na and how, like, we did, like, a Qigong practice right before we did.
Wait, you're all like, I didn't take Tai Chi and I didn't take Qigong my first semester. And now you're like, I wish we had more Tai Chi and Qigong.
Can you let me finish? Yeah, I think as far as integrated between before, like, before clinic, and really kind of encouraging students to, like, hey, like, clear yourself before you go and interact with this person, or hey, we're going to be doing, you know, needling on a person, and, like, that's still another human, and you know, and
just being conscious of what you're bringing into that situation.
Yeah, absolutely. I really appreciate, like, the Tui Na classes and how we did that before we started practicing. And so that kind of created a different energy around, you know, the massage that we're learning. Right. So, more of that. And I get that they try to emphasize that in the beginning with, like, making, like, putting Tai Chi and Qigong in the first term. And granted, I dropped that class. But I still, like,
but no, I remember doing that, like, when I first started teaching herbs. I would, like, start each class with, like, Qigong, and it was a lot easier when I only had 10 people. When I started having classes with 30 people, it didn't work so well. But I knew, like, some people, like, really liked it, and I would be like, oh, we're doing Qigong. I'm like, you're going to Chinese medicine school. Why are you bitching about having to do Qigong?
Yeah, I remember you had to teach a couple of my fundamentals two classes when one of the professors was out, and and we were kind of all rowdy, and you were just like, okay, everybody stand up, all right, we're gonna take a deep breath, and, you know, like, we did, like, a really, like, casual little practice, but it totally changed the temperament of the room, right? And so I think that is nice, and it's a great reminder, you know, for us to kind of tap in or plug in.
Anything else? I'm kind of running out of steam. Do you want people to follow you on Instagram or anything?
No. Don't follow me.
Because some people, when it's like practitioners, like, where can you find you? What's your website? What's your Instagram? And some people are like, don't follow me on Instagram.
Right. My practitioner.
Do you have an OnlyFans we should follow you on?
OnlyFans. Omi Aye Wellness. It's omi.aye.wellness on Instagram. And I've started reading, like, the Tao Te Ching and
well, like, do you want me to actually put that on there?
I don't know.
Be like, don't follow me on.
Well, that one's my more professional page. You know, okay. They tell you to start early.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I'm
so
starting,
starting
early.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like.
Okay, we can put that on there.
Yeah, it's fine.
Anything else?
Yeah, I wondered if I wanted to mention, like, your point videos, point location videos, and, like, having, like, a black person in that, like, seeing point location on brown people. But I don't know if I want to.
Do you want to talk about that?
Sure. I think that it's a nice subliminal way of, like, yeah, brown people get acupuncture. Yeah, representation is major, right? And so, like, as a black person, I've been inundated with, like, so many ways of, like, how do I not fit in, you know? And I remember being, like, a little girl and be like, mommy, can you make my hair silky like Lindsay and Chelsea's, you know, like the girls across the street, and my dad being mad at me for that. And I'm like, I don't understand why you're mad at me.
Yeah.
So but yeah, so, like, at this point, it's just like, can we reflect more of what America actually looks like, and can we see ourselves in something? For me, it's like a matter of expanding the imagination of, like, what's possible for people.
I feel like maybe as an analogy, this is kind of a discussion the yoga community has been trying to have when you have, like, a lot of skinny white girls posting pictures on Instagram, and it's like, do we need broader representation of different colors and different shapes in that space?
Yeah, and especially when we're taking aspects of cultures from brown and black people and Asian people, you know, like, I think that it's important that we don't just start to, like, whitewash everything, right? And that's been the trend in so much, like, whether it's hairstyles, it's yoga, it's, you know, people kind of take things at face value in a lot of ways. It's just like, oh, well, this is what I see. So I don't see myself in that. So maybe I can't do that. And I think that that's a lot of personality. Like some people are trailblazers and like, oh, yeah, I kind of like this shit. I'm going to try it, you know. Yeah. And but other people, they need permission from society. Yeah. And so if we're not seeing that, then it's harder, or they need reminders. And so I think that having a willing volunteer, you know, like where there's respect and to be like, hey, yeah, let's do point location, and just be like, yeah, Black people get acupuncture too. And like, and all of these students are going to use, you know, your videos to learn that, and then just subtly be reminded. Like it's normalized. And I think that that's the important aspect. Yeah. I think that wider representation is important so that more people feel like this medicine is something that they can relate to. I mean, even really kind of teaching the history of Chinese medicine within America, like there were Black people that were doing things like Dr. Mutulu Shakur, like, and we don't hear anything about him and his legacy with the Nara Protocol, like, and with like the Black Panthers and the Young Lords using acupuncture to support the Black and Puerto Rican communities through heroin addiction and the ways in which, like, you know, and so that more of the Black and Latinx communities could feel like, oh yeah, this medicine is for me too, you know, like, and then I think we also get to look at the ways in which which the profession and the ways in which it's been Americanized, like, excludes some people who have like ancestral ties to the medicine because of their, you know, their inability to maybe like, integrate English in the ways that they need to pass these exams. You know, like some of the language in the exams are just like, I'm like, damn, I'm digging out like context clues, you know, from fourth and fifth grade. But fortunately, I grew up in the suburbs in that, you know, at that time frame. And so I had a really good education and I can use this to figure out what they're talking about. But like, not everybody has that access. And I recognize my privilege in being fairly well educated and able, like, I may not speak as well, but like my intellectual ability to figure out words on a page is useful. So it's just like there's just so many layers, and it would be nice for people to recognize that and to stay curious and to recognize that like there's so much more to learn. And that there's a lot of room to make changes so that more people can feel like East Asian medicine is accessible to them. That's all I got.
Should we finish out?
Yeah.
Finish up? Should we crash out?
Yeah.
Mallory, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Should we follow you on Instagram?
If you want, you can follow me at Omi Aye Wellness, omi.aye.wellness, WELLNESS. I kind of post about my life in school and building out from there.
Awesome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Take care.
This episode can be downloaded online at podcast.tcmstudy.net/session5. This podcast is made possible thanks to the support of listeners like you. If you'd like to contribute, consider joining the Patreon. When you do, you'll have early access to future episodes. Just go to podcast.tcmstudy.net and click on the donate button at the top of the page. But that's all for today. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.